Down to Dunk Podcast.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It is December 3rd. We're doing just a quick little podcast because we know you missed us over your Thanksgiving holiday. We hope that you had a great Thanksgiving. The Thunder had a great Thanksgiving. They kind of just dominated, well, in a weird kind of way. They won, at least, every home game they had. They beat the Spurs, the Clippers, the Warriors, and the Wolves the last four games of or four of the last five games of this homestand. Great little run. And so what we want to do to talk a little bit of Thunder is just do some true or false questions. We got a few of them. And Taylor's going to kind of lead that true or false, guys. Jay, Andrew, Taylor here with you today. We hope you enjoy the pod.
All right, let's get right into it. We have a few true and false about the bench, so I'll just say one. This is from at Ryan Woods, underscore, after the S. And it is true or false, this is the best bench the Thunder have had.
So the other bench that we talk about was the 2012 bench, the championship team bench. Well, they're not the championship team. The Western Conference champion bench with James Harden, Eric Maynor, Nazem Muhammad, Nick Collison.
That's basically it.
And Daquan Cook, who actually, yeah. I don't think he played in the finals at all. But I like this bench better, the current bench, better than that one. I think the only way that you prefer the former is because James Harden was incredible, which he was. I mean, that third year he was a superstar, basically, just coming off the bench, only playing about 30 minutes a game. In that season, he averaged 16 points a game, almost four assists, and almost four rebounds, or at four rebounds. So, I mean, he was great coming off the bench. But what we have with Reggie and Lamb coming off the bench is over 20 points per game coming from these guys. And Brooks has kind of, in this last little stretch, has gone between the two of them. Who he's going to play in crunch time, and they've both been incredible. I mean, what are your guys' thoughts? I like this bench better.
You know, I asked Darnell Mayberry the other day when I saw him about this question. I actually posed to him because the championship run, they didn't have Eric Maynor after January.
Right.
I don't think that season's bench was as good because it really was Harden, Nick Collison, and then Nazem Muhammad was really it. And then Daquan a little bit, but Daquan really didn't play in the playoffs.
And Fisher.
And Fisher was part of that, too. And
that's so right. I forgot about that.
The year before was the year I thought their bench was maybe if – and it's hard because it was the better probably all-around bench, but it wasn't as good of a James Harden.
No.
So I think it's a mix, and so that's why I probably would lean to this team. I think Reggie is developing at a level for this year that is terrifying, both for the league, but also for the Thunder, because we see it happening once again where we're going to have this offseason, this extension hanging over us where we're afraid, you know, that we're going to end up trading him for pieces to some contender in our own conference kind of thing. Like all of a sudden the Nuggets are going to get Reggie Jackson and we're going to get two draft picks or whatever. And so we start that process of kind of getting nervous about it, I think. But in my opinion, I think this bench, and it's also because of the depth. I think there's another six guys that could play on this. Fisher's found a role that is completely different than he's done in the past. He's actually becoming like a defensive stopper.
You know what he does? He comes in and he just fouls the crap out of everybody until they call it.
Which is fine.
Like, which is awesome.
Yeah. He's played really well. Nick Collison, I think, is actually, he's shooting a little too much maybe for me, like especially from three-point line. But I think he actually somehow looks more, and maybe it's because he's being more assertive offensively. Lamb has already gone beyond any of my expectations for him. He's shooting the ball really well. He's playing with confidence, and he's a pretty good defender. And Reggie, like we said, is just going out of this world. And the piece we haven't talked about is our little man crush, Steven Adams. Even though because we go small, he doesn't play that much, recently at least. Steven Adams is an element that really is very different. Like Nazi, they didn't trust a lot, especially in that later run of the playoffs to play a lot. But Steven Adams has got the physical capabilities to really add another piece. And then PJ3, who for some reason has fallen into Brooks' doghouse or something, is another piece that I just like this bench. It's deep. It's pretty talented. It's young, high energy. And I think Reggie's the piece that really kicks it all off.
I think you're right. And this is kind of a weird time for the Thunder, too, because we've always kind of had a nine-man rotation. You know, it's always been like nine dudes that that Brooks really trusted. Sometimes it was 10 if it needed to be. But we have 11 guys right now that are playing every single game. And so I think this is the deepest bench we've ever had. And everyone knows their role in this bench more so than ever before, I think. You know, like Reggie is obviously the leader of this second team, and then there's Collison, and everyone knows exactly where they are. And playing Fisher like 10 minutes a game, if that, has been amazing because he doesn't get tired. Like, you're right, he can go in there and just hound people for it. Like, he was killing. He shut down Kevin Martin. He literally shut down Kevin Martin for like 5 minutes.
The thing that's crazy about it is that all 11 guys, when they're on the court, you're okay and excited about them being on the court.
Yeah.
Like, there's not one of them on the court where you're like, oh, crap, why are they playing Perry Jones? Like, I want to see more of Perry Jones, actually.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I like this bench a lot. I like this team a lot, man. They got me excited about Thunder basketball for the next few years.
Okay, well, since you said that, let's go into the next room. Is this true or false? This team is better than the team that went to the finals 2 years ago.
In my opinion, I think without a doubt that they're better. One, because Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, and Serge Ibaka are better players than they were in 2012. And then the thing about this team is that they have so many more scoring options than they did back then. It was basically just three guys, and then they had Serge Ibaka and Perk go crazy one game versus the Spurs. But it was just three guys that were taking the bulk of the scoring load. Now we have three guys that we can count on, plus two guys off the bench that we know that can come in and score, you know, 10 to 20 in a game easily. So the scoring options is something that I have, you know, kind of hounded the Thunder for years about. You know, we need another scoring option, but this year we have it in Jeremy Lamb and Reggie Jackson coming off the bench. And then Steven Adams just having a little bit of touch around the rim is extremely helpful.
Yeah.
So I think they're much better.
And I think the evaluation on this team, and I've said this for a while, but the evaluation on this team will not be today, but in June and May, when the season's coming down and all of a sudden Jeremy Lamb has 50 to 60 games underneath them, Steven Adams has 50 or 60 games underneath them, Reggie's progressed even more into the season, this team has got to be terrifying to some teams. I think they have a better shot right now because of the diversity of their scoring options. Now, the big knock on them is they don't have they're not shooting very well from 3-point. Reggie's not a good 3-pointer. Lamb is pretty good, but he's not shooting a lot of them. I think that's the big question that everybody has about it. But for me, I think this team is really, really good, and it makes me excited.
Yeah. And Lamb's shooting about 40% from three. He's shooting better than anybody. Reggie's pretty bad. He's at like 26% right now. And the guy who we really need to start hitting those corner threes consistently is Tabo Sefolosha. If Tabo Sefolosha can hit those threes more consistently, which he has shown in the past few games that he's going to hit those shots more consistently, if he can get back up between 35 and 40 for the season, that is a huge weapon for the Thunder.
Yeah, definitely. What do you guys think is the issue with Tabo? Do you think he's just pressing everything? It kind of looks like it. It looks like he is stressing out every time he has the ball.
Well, he's in a contract year on a team that has a lot of guys who are going to do a lot of different things. So it's going to be tough for Tabo mentally for this season, I would guess, because he's going to want to get a big contract, whether it be from the Thunder or from whoever. Yeah. I think we just lost Jay. But I think that's it. His shot looks flat compared to what it has in the past. I don't know if you've
No, I've noticed that too. And it looks like his release is quicker too. I think Darnell said something about that a while ago. And so like, it looks like he worked on his shot, but that hasn't been working really.
It hasn't panned out. Cause he looks closer to the Tabo that first got to the Thunder than the one of the past 2 years, which is a little concerning. But I honestly think that he's going to be fine. You know, we haven't played that many games yet, and I think come April he'll be able to hit that shot with more consistency is my optimistic thought about it.
Yeah, I think so as well. Let's go on to the next one, and this is from Ryan Woods again. True or false, Pressey moves PJ3 and the Dallas pick before Christmas?
I say false. I honestly don't. I don't know what reason he would have to do that. I don't know who they're going to add, and that Dallas pick could be really valuable because I don't think that Dallas pick will be for this season. I don't think that it will be. I think it'll probably be whenever it comes. You know, in 2018, whenever it's unprotected, that the Thunder could get that and have a lottery pick from the Mavericks. Whenever Dirk is retired and they are rebuilding, we could have a really nice pick from the Mavericks. So I don't think so. I don't think that Pressey wants to deal that pick. And I don't think, I mean, what are we going to get back for Perry Jones?
That's what I was thinking. I don't know why we would. Like what do we even really need right now? It looks like we have 11 guys that are playing every night right now. That's not counting Perry Jones. Wait, is it counting Perry Jones?
Yeah, that does count Perry Jones, I believe. I don't know. Let me get the roster in front of me. Yeah, that includes Perry Jones.
Yeah, it does. So even if he's not playing, that's 10 dudes every night. And I just don't see why we would trade them.
I mean, so, the only thing that I would see is if, you know, the Rockets would entertain a Kendrick Perkins, Perry Jones, and the Dallas pick for
a Sheik.
But I don't. Why would the heck would they do that?
Yeah.
No. I think going back to that trade question, I don't think the Thunder do anything.
I don't think so either.
No, I don't think so either.
Go ahead and bring up that other true or false with the trades, because this kind of plays into it.
The other one was just the Oklahoma City makes no trades this season, and I say true on that.
And who is that from?
That is from Heath W. Black.
Okay.
Shout out to Heath Black.
What up, Heath?
What up, Heath? I say true. The Thunder make no trades as of right now.
I think the only way they could do it is if – and here, let me – I think Perkins has been more useful in the last few weeks or last few games than I give him credit for. Like, I think he's actually had value. And but I think the only way that he would make a trade is if somebody would take Perkins, or if he can make a move for Tabo to get – you know, because Tabo's an expiring contract.
Yeah.
You know, like if he could make a move for one of those two, I think he possibly will. But I don't think, number one, we've discussed this. Nobody's going to take Perkins straight up. They're going to give a piece that's just un-Presti-like. And the other thing with Tabo is I just don't know if – I think that between Brooks and Presti, they value what he brings enough to the game that they're not going to get rid of him either. So,
yeah, and if you're going in for a title run, you don't want to get rid of either of those guys unless you're getting back an upgrade. And it's going to be tough to get an upgrade for either one of those guys because they honestly don't have that much value because of their lack of offensive production.
Jay, are you throwing up right now?
No.
Jay, are you okay?
Jay, are you fine, guys. I'm fine. Leave me alone, please.
So as of right now, barring any injury, there's nothing really that needs to be traded for right now. Nope. Or whatever. Okay,
it would have to be something big. It would have to be a huge upgrade. Like if they wanted to give us Evan Turner for Perkins, like, yeah, we'll do that. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Or like Haas for Russ and KD.
Yeah, if any way we could get Spencer Haas, I mean, get that guy on the Thunder.
No matter what. Let's move on to the next one. True or false? This is from Bryce Dickerson. LeBron James will not win MVP or a title this year.
Now, first of all, Bryce, that's a loaded question.
It's a loaded question.
Come on, Bryce.
Second of all, have you guys seen his stats this year? Just looking at his stats alone, not the fact that he just kills people, but his stats are amazing. He's the best basketball player in the world. Kevin Durant is so close to him, but I would still take LeBron. I don't see how you don't give him the MVP again.
He could get he could have a 60-40-80 season this season. 60-40-80, and he's not a center.
60-50-80. He's shooting, what is he shooting from three right now? He's shooting higher. I think he's shooting 50% from three.
Is he really?
I believe he is. Give me a minute to look this up.
Guys, there's no chance he shoots 60-50-80.
Why? I would say 60-40-80.
You think he can stay at 60% from the field?
Dude, have you been watching how he is playing?
He's 48% from three.
Okay, that's incredible. I don't think he'll keep up the three-point percentage, but I think he'll keep around 60%. I really do.
All right, I'll make a bet with you. What do you want to bet? I'll buy y'all lunch if he shoots over 60% from the field.
At the end of the year, he has...
At the end of the year.
Do we get to round up?
No. This is not a knock on him. If he shoots 59.5%, I win the bet. You don't have to do anything for me. I'm just telling you that I will buy you lunch if he shoots 60%. And that's not me saying I think LeBron's the best player in the world. And I think if it wasn't for the fact that people have some sort of stupid negative bent against him, he's a top 10 player of all time.
He's a top five player of all time, maybe.
I don't know. I'd have to go through that to figure that out. There's a lot of really good basketball players.
I don't know.
Right now is the time, and we talked about this before. I was talking with my roommate about it too. We have so many guys in teams right now that are just going to be like classic teams in the future. You know what I mean? Like people are going to remember this era right now that we're in. Soak it in.
My only fear is that is this Thunder team going to be like the Jazzes or the Jazz or the, you know, those teams that were just on the cusp but never could do it because there was Jordan in the league, you know?
Yeah, but I think I'm not worried about that. I think they'll win. I actually think that this Thunder team is deeper than the Heat.
Yeah, but the Heat have those things where it's like they're that team that all of a sudden, like Michael Beasley is useful all of a sudden for the Heat. And Greg Oden, I'm just assuming, you know, whenever he does come back in March or whatever, is going to be a double-double machine or something like that. You know, like I just have that feeling that because those guys have so much just given ability to make people around them better, all three of them are good at that. Of the big three. It's one of those things where you just see guys that don't have a lot of value outside of the Heat all of a sudden becoming more valuable than they ever have been. Like Chris Anderson was good for a year or two before the Heat, but now he's on this level where you're like, God, he's such an integral piece to what they do. And it's kind of how they function, I guess. And that's what happens when you surround people with – you put average people around the greatest players in the world, and they're going to become better.
Yeah, definitely. And I actually think people don't give enough credit to Eric Spoelstra. I was reading an interview the other day, and it was with Michael Beasley. And they were talking about, like, what has the difference been this year, you know? And he's like, well, Spo is trusting me defensively. So – He's leaving me out there because of my defense, and so my offense can kind of catch up. You know, I can get going. And they were like, when's the last time you were trusted by a coach like that? And he said, never. He said, no one's ever trusted me on both sides of the floor like that before. And so I think that's like So Spo knows how to get through to these guys. You know what I mean? It's not just like, oh, I'm on the Heat now. I'm playing with LeBron. All right, I'll play the best I can. I think Eric Spoelstra is bringing the best out of everyone on that team. And he keeps everyone's roles in check, too. If you look at Chris Bosh, when it's like LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh when they're out there, Chris Bosh has good games, but statistically, he's not great. You know what I mean? But as soon as Dwayne Wade goes out or as soon as LeBron goes out, Chris Bosh immediately picks up all the slack. Yep. And it's like, and it's the same with Dwayne Wade and all these other guys. It's like everyone knows their role so perfectly on that team. And I think that that's from Eric Spoelstra. And so it's just this, you know, dynamite team with you have the best player in the world. You have one of the best coaches right now. And you have all like the most talent on any team, probably.
Yeah. And they still might not win a championship. I won't give them that either right now. I think the Pacers are good. I think the Trailblazers have gotten better. The Thunder are good again. The Spurs are good again. The Eastern Conference is an absolute garbage can, but
I think the term is dumpster fire.
There we go.
Yes.
Well, inside of a garbage can.
Yeah.
With a lid on it.
The biggest concern for the Heat this year has got to be their depth.
Yes, definitely.
Because they're the second oldest team in the NBA to Brooklyn. And, I mean, can Ray Allen do what he did again? I don't know. Can Chris Anderson at 35 do, you know, perform like this in April? I don't know. I mean, you got Udonis Haslem and Roger Mason's on this team. Shane Battier's 35. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to be able to do come April because of their age. And I think that's going to be tough. And they're going to be relying on guys like Michael Beasley. I don't know.
Yeah, and they got to stay healthy.
Yeah, they got to stay healthy. And then you have a guy like James Jones, who's now taking the spot of Mike Miller.
Yeah.
Who, James Jones, he will not do what Mike Miller did in the past two finals.
No. He won't.
He just won't.
He will without a doubt keep his shoes on.
Yes, he will. And he will miss he will miss all of those clutch threes that Mike Miller made, and he's not as good a rebounder. And so I think they're a great team. I think that they could go to the finals, but this is going to be the hardest year they've ever had, I think. Barring the Mavs year. But in the past 3 years, I think this is the hardest year that they'll have to win a championship. The Pacers look so good, y'all.
They're so good.
Did you watch? I got to watch the fourth quarter of that Trailblazers-Pacers game. Those two, like, they're both legitimately awesome teams. And Paul George is on another level right now. He hit three threes on, like, consecutively to keep the Pacers in the game last night.
And it was sometimes he hits these threes that you're just like, what?
Like, how did you even get that off?
Like, completely contested in somebody's face. Just incredible shooter.
The guy's a superstar.
He is.
He has reached that level. He can dribble now for some reason, which is great. But he's incredible. He's
a good playmaker.
If he was playing for Boston, or if he was playing for LA, or if he was playing for any of these bigger markets, if he was a Knick right now, the MVP leader right now. But he's not.
He's close, though.
He is, but he won't overcome LeBron, Durant, or Chris Paul for that run.
I hear what you're saying.
It's crazy how well he's playing, and it just still seems like people are just like, oh, okay.
And people are just recognizing him right now for his offense, but his offense is just now catching up with his defense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, that's the thing that separates him from Durant. Like, and not necessarily, he's not a better player than Durant, but he is a killer defensive player.
He's the best defensive. I mean, Roy Hibbert. He's the best. I don't know. Are you putting LeBron James at small forward or power forward?
Small forward.
Then LeBron James. LeBron James is a better defender.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. So here's a question for, and just to kind of preface this, the Thunder play the Kings tonight, and then as part of their West Coast back to back, they play the Trailblazers tomorrow. I'm excited to see what Serge does against LaMarcus Aldridge. Serge has become a way better on-ball defender this year.
Yes.
But this is his biggest test. I mean, he shut down Tim Duncan. He's done a great job against David Lee.
He kills David Lee. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Destroys David
Lee.
It's
embarrassing.
LaMarcus Aldridge is playing probably at one of the highest levels he's played at.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see Serge. Serge has all the capabilities of being the best power forward defender in the league. He just, you know, some of it's discipline. Some of that's just him learning basketball still somehow. But he's been great this year. Serge is completely underrated, I think, by the national world right now.
Yeah. He went from being overrated to underrated quickly, because he's controlling the paint at the end of games. I mean, he just is. And I did not see him as being a guy like that, but he's been incredible.
Yeah. You got any more true or false for us, Taylor?
No, that's pretty much it.
Well, good. I'm just excited, man. I think it's going to be a great NBA season. I'm really bummed out about the Eastern Conference not being a little bit more competitive. The loss of Derrick Rose for the Bulls is a little bit of a bummer. Brooklyn being such a dumpster fire, just like the Knicks. And so realistically, there are two teams in the East that are worth anything.
Hey, real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Say those two teams, though.
Brooklyn and New York.
Are the teams worth... I was going to go Magic and Magic. But there is one more true false. I forgot. This is from at Steven Gertz, one of our buddies who does a podcast for the Cavs. And he said the Thunder are a top three team in the NBA right now. True false?
Yes, true.
Andrew?
I think so. I think that they're better than the Trailblazers. I think the Trailblazers are incredible, and they're on a really nice run right now. But if this was a playoff series, then I would take the Thunder, you know, 10 times out of 10. I like them better. So, it's got to be Pacers, Miami, and the Thunder.
I think I agree with you. The championship belt is on the line tonight and tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
The Thunder has a championship belt right now. I can see the Trailblazers swooping in and jacking that.
Yeah, they could. It's on the road.
And it's a back-to-back. Portland's a tough place to play. It'll be fun.
And they're on a roll. Yeah.
They should stop Sacramento, though. So, you know, this is going to be, you know, Robertson might play tonight.
I hope so. I think they sent him to the 66ers.
Oh, did they?
I saw someone say that on Twitter.
They're about to, is what I've heard.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's good. I got a roll, gentlemen.
Well, just finish this up, man. Let's wrap it up.
Y'all ready? Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us on the Down to Dunk podcast. We appreciate you tuning in. Remember, check us out on Twitter at DTD Podcast. Search for us on iTunes. Search Down to Dunk. Visit our website. You can find our pods there, downtodunk.com. We appreciate you tuning in. We'll see you Friday.
Peace.
Thanks, guys.